It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network.
Hello, Dolphin fans. Yes, that's right. We're back with yet another season of previews and reviews of your Miami Dolphins. Each week, we will discuss the upcoming game, analyzing the opponent, and then follow every game with a review show with all the highs and lows of the game. This season looks to be one of the most exciting seasons we have had in a good while, and we are really, truly excited to be there every step of the way. So please look for us and follow us wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. Please feel free to leave comments after each show, as we truly appreciate any feedback. Now let's kick off this week's show. And it's another Fin Fans podcast. With me tonight, I've got Matt Mariani.
Hello, Fin Fans.
And Jim Johnson makes a return.
That's it. I got Lou's attention now, right?
Yep, and obviously Louis Rigoni is here too.
Hey, Dolphins. It's a bye week.
Chris Rigoni was supposed to be here, but he bailed on us. Had to work.
Yeah, I had some lame excuse about work.
I know, yeah. It's terrible. We're going to do a roundtable tonight, and my first question to you guys is an easy layup one. I just want to get your voices working, you know. What's the most exciting game you've ever seen? And Matt, we'll go in the order of the cast view here, so you go first.
Most exciting game I've seen for any reason whatsoever?
Dolphin game. Whatever reason you want to make.
All right.
Exciting to you.
Last year, when me and my wife celebrated our 10th anniversary, actually it was 2 years ago, in 2021, we went down to Miami. I'm from New York, and it was the primetime Thursday night game against the Ravens, and it was my first time in the stadium. The controversy surrounding Tua's finger and Brian Flores and whether or not he was benched or not, it was a terrible first half. We had an incredible second half comeback in person. Tua led the comeback. It was a great game. It was a fantastic game for me to be at. The energy was electric. It was everything I could have asked for, traveling. However,
all 12 people in a stadium, huh?
12.
No, that was...
It was packed.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Thursday night. Well, it was a Thursday night primetime game. Okay. Yeah, it was... Okay.
Wasn't that the game that they just annihilated Lamar Jackson?
Yeah,
just,
the defense was incredible all night. Yeah,
they blew him up that night.
The zero blitz was on fire that night.
Yes, they played almost a damn near perfect game defensively that night as well. They were good. I remember that game.
So there was a lot. It had sentimental meaning to me as well.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so.
Sure, absolutely.
We like a good love story.
There you go.
Jim, what about you?
I have to say, handing those vaunted Bears their only loss that season has to be a highlight game for me. I mean, just going in there and doing that on a Monday night and
old country watching, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was just perfect. And just taking their lunch money and just seeing that frustration on Buddy Ryan and everybody else's faces was fantastic. So
you know, that is still the number one rated NFL Monday night game.
Is that right?
Yep.
Wow.
As far as viewers.
Yeah, that's...
And I don't know if they'll ever beat it with the way the NFL plays now, you know, because you have the Monday games, the Thursday games. It's not quite like it was then.
Nope, that's for sure.
Lewis?
That is a good one, Jim. That's right up there at the top for me as well, because there was so much drama behind it. You had Larry Zonka and a lot of the 72 Dolphins on the sideline, and they preserved, you know, us being the only undefeated team. So there was a lot of drama. It was a Monday night. Yeah, absolutely. A lot of excitement. So that's up there. I mean, I was physically at that game. Me and Mike were both at that game, sitting next to each other. So that adds to it. But above and beyond that, I would say the Jet championship game. And we were at a few championship games, too. We were at the Pittsburgh one where Marino just threw all over him. We scored, like, I think 38 or 40 points on Pittsburgh's defense, and we went to the Super Bowl. But the championship game against the Jets in the rain, where it was just, you know, A.J. Dewey's day, three interceptions. I mean, it was a defensive battle. It was pouring the whole day. We were on there, you know, ponchos. Rain ponchos the whole day. I mean, we had like 10 people with us. I mean, the whole experience. And then after the game, of course, you know, we beat the Jets, who, of course, we hate more than just about anybody in the NFL. So that added to it. And the fact that we were going to the Super Bowl after years of not being there was just a phenomenal feeling.
I know, it had been a whole decade.
yeah, basically. And the streets were just, people were just insane. It was just, you know, the whole experience was just incredible. So that, I believe, well, in my, it wasn't the greatest game that the Dolphins have played or that I have been to, but all those other factors, you know, obviously are, you know, pull that to the top for me.
And those are two great choices. I mean, you know, I was at both of them. I was also at the Charger game in 81, you know, and that to me was the most exciting game simply because of the back and forth of it and the playoff stakes and all that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you don't go wrong with any of those games.
So the Charger one is number one?
For me, it is.
For you, Mike?
Yeah, yeah, and then closely, the Bears, very closely.
All right. So you're... among us, you're the only one that picked a game that we lost.
Yes. Yes. We said most exciting game. We didn't say most exciting outcome.
Right. I was just, you know, bringing that up.
Yep. To me, that was the most exciting game that I've seen.
It was. Yeah. It was incredible. It really was.
Another one for me. So I know this is a sloppy second type of thing, but when Marino came back from injury and they had that
94.
Shootout in 94. That was a spectacular game to watch. I mean, there was no defense, but man, them guys were slinging it for sure.
Yeah, that was
games like that didn't game. Happen in 94 either.
Yep.
Like they do today.
Nope.
And I was at that one too. Yes, I was. All right, next question.
Sure.
Jim, you go first this time. The Miami Dolphins rank 17 of 32 in third down conversions with a 39.58%. Last game, they were 25%. The last three games, they were 32.4%. Why do you think we've regressed?
Why do I think we've regressed? Well, a lot of it's got to do with the defenses know what our tendencies are. So, you know, defenses are going to adjust to what any team does on offense because of all the statistics. So, you know, play calling gets into it a little bit, but I feel most of it would be specifically teams adjusting to what we're normally doing.
Okay. Lewis?
There's a few factors, I think. First and foremost is we're getting the third down, right? Well, early in the season, you weren't seeing third downs.
Right. They were getting 10 yards on second down.
We were going up and down the field on first down or second down, and we were converting. We weren't even getting the third down. I think penalties quite a bit have put us in a position where we're first and 15. So on and so forth. So, you know, that's the first issue is the penalties. And, you know, defenses are kind of sitting on us a little bit. I think the fact that the injuries, they have played a big part as well. The offense, the key offensive linemen being out, the timing not being quite right. The loss of Achan definitely hurts as well because, again, you know, we're getting the third down situations. And even though Mozart has been really, really good, you know, with Achan and him both back there, it's a whole different element on our offense. Now, the injuries to obviously Armstead and to Connor Williams have been a big hurt to us as well. So those factors, more than anything else, I think are the reasons that we just haven't been nearly as efficient on third down.
Lewis took my answer. In the beginning of the year, we were dominating on first and second down. We weren't even seeing any third downs. As the year has progressed, those outside runs that Mostert and Achan were flying, teams were taking that away. So instead of having third and one, we've been in third and 17, third and 15, when you combine the bad runs with the penalties. And it took until the second half of the Kansas City game for McDaniel to figure out, maybe I could start running up the middle.
I know. I was all aggravated.
It was the first
too.
Time we've seen it all year, and it started to work. It turned around the offense. They started moving the ball a lot better than they did against in the first half against Kansas City and against Philadelphia and against Buffalo. So we might see a little bit more of that in the second half of this season, because it seems like defenses are really playing us wide in the run game, which is smart. So we're going to have to adjust.
Okay. We'll get Achan back, and I wonder if that'll help the outside run.
I think defenses, as Matt said, are sitting on that.
Sure.
And the fact that they were running a lot to the right, which surprised the hell out of me.
Yeah, I know.
You saw a lot of pitch rights, you know, behind Austin Jackson, who's graded out as, you know, our worst lineman week in and week out.
How many times did they get blown up for a 5-yard
blast? Exactly. Yeah. And the fact that Hunt was out on top of that just, to me, didn't make a lot of sense. You know, when they started running left and running behind Armstead and running into the middle, and Mike, me and you were talking about it during the game, I'm like, they've got to start running the ball through the into the middle of this defense and see what develops. And lo and behold, they did. They started doing it, and it was very extremely successful. And they probably should have went to the well one more time in that Kansas City game once they got down there. You
Absolutely.
Know, until they stop you, just keep running it.
You know, there you go.
Got us there, and then we threw four straight passes, and game over. So anyway, all right, Mike, what you got next there, Cowboy?
We're at the halfway point. And with that said, I'm going to ask you to grade the following people. And the first one is Mike McDaniel. Lewis, you're up.
Mike McDaniel. Man, you had to give him almost an A+, right, through the first, you know, four or five games. You know, the last few, I mean, you know, the Kansas City game, you know, we go into the half with 0 points. You know, he's pretty much responsible for the offense and the play calling. You know, the Philadelphia game, I was a little bit concerned with the fact that, you know, when we talked about this, that they had packages on the field that were playing into the Eagles' hands. So I think that there has been some mistakes made on the offensive side of the football, especially with the injuries across the offensive line, because obviously these guys, you know, they're grading out much better. Pass blocking and, you know, to throw a fullback on the field and have two receiver sets against a team like the Eagles defense just didn't make sense to me early on. And, you know, lo and behold, it took us a while to get going. So with that being said, you know, I'd probably give him a B+, you know, down from probably an A+ or a straight A. But I think he's still done an extremely good job overall. You've seen a lot of wrinkles in the offense this year. And, you know, let's hope going forward that there's a bunch more, because, you know, it's crunch time now, guys. I mean, this is, you know, the time of year where, you know, you're going to have to step it up a notch. And, you know, the play calling has to be precise. You know, when you look at that series, right, in the Kansas City game at the end of the game, you know, I felt that Tua dropping back, you know, in a 5-step drop on first down, you know, it was kind of a mistake. You know, I think they should have either ran the ball or just had a quick hitter in the flat to get 4 or 5 yards to keep Kansas City on their heels. You know, instead we went to a second and 10. So, you know, I think there's been mistakes made. I think that when it's crunch time like that, you have to have play calls in your back pocket that just, you know, blows the doors off a defense, something like that they really haven't seen as of yet, something that's going to get you into the end zone and tie that game up. So B plus for him.
All right. What we're going to do is we're going to take a step back for just a couple minutes and we'll be right back.
All right. So he's Mike McDaniel. He runs the offense, and our offense is currently first in just about every single category you can possibly be in by a good margin. In total yards, we're first with 3,918 yards. We're 600 yards ahead of the Eagles. In points, we're first with 285 points. We're 30 points ahead of the Eagles. They have the second best offense pretty much across the board right below us, and we got about a whole game stats ahead of them, even though we've played the same amount of games. I got to go with Lewis, though, a B plus. As great as the offense has been, there's one small thing that we can't seem to get over the hump against these good teams. And I think a lot of it is these gadgets that make our offense, the motion, the tricks, the window dressing, it's harder to pull off on the road. And he hasn't had an answer for these better defenses on the road. The communication's not as good, and we really, really need to improve in that area. Until he gets a handle on these road games and having that crisp offense on the road, I got to give him a B plus.
Jim?
So you guys have covered 90% of what I would have discussed, and I'm in agreement with both of you. But like you said, Matt, we're leading, you know, all of the NFL in most offensive categories. So that's just fantastic. We haven't seen that. We haven't seen that from a Dolphins team in I don't know how long, since Marino days. And it's
probably 1984.
Yeah, exactly. Since we beat the Bears, I guess. But, you know, like you guys have said, I mean, this guy in those first halves of those three games that we've lost, he looks baffled over there on the sidelines, and he's looking at his sheet there, and he's like, all I can think of is he's saying to himself, well, this should work. Why doesn't it work? He's like baffled. So, I mean, you can't wait that long. If something doesn't work three or four times, just throw it away. Do something different, you know. And he's been awfully painfully slow to make a change in his scheme or plan in the first half. And for that reason, you know, I'm gonna give him an A minus. It's barely an A, you know, it's a 90, but it's, you know, he's done a lot of great things. But man, until we win one of these games against a playoff caliber team, he's still not getting it done. So,
yeah, I think they've been a little conservative early on in games when I feel that they got to come out and throw a punch at the other team. The Eagle, you know, the Eagle game. Kansas City, I mean, just come out and just, you know, go full throttle like you did earlier in the season. I think they've become a little bit conservative early in games, and it's shown, you know, that they get off to slow starts for whatever reason. So, and I don't know the thought process behind as to why that's happening, because they have the firepower. And I think that they just should come out and just throw it at teams, you know, especially with the fact that the defense is starting to play a little bit better week in and week out. I mean, they've been pretty damn solid over the last few weeks. So, you know, I think they've got to come out a little bit more aggressive at the start of games. And the fact that Cedric Wilson is starting to get involved and make some plays, you know, you've got a third guy there. You have Berrios. You got Craig Kraft coming back. I mean, come out and just, you know, be aggressive on offense going forward here in the, you know, in the second half of the season. And, you know, don't pussyfoot around, you know, pedal to the metal right out of the gate. That's what we were doing early in the season.
The next guy is somebody y'all know well. It's Tua.
A plus plus. No, I'm joking.
I was going to say, here it comes.
No, I'm joking. But all right. So going into the season, what did we want from him? We wanted him to stay healthy and we wanted him to be consistent. I think for the most part, we can definitely say he's staying healthy. He's been mostly consistent. Would we like to see a little bit more from him in that Philadelphia and Kansas City game? Absolutely. I don't think he played all that.
A little bit more? Damn it.
I don't want a lot more.
No, listen, I don't think he played all that terrible in the Kansas City game.
He didn't.
or the Philadelphia game. He had a bad turnover in the Philadelphia game. That one interception was bad.
Sorry.
Yeah.
No. All right. I'm going to spare my feelings on those last few plays. The third down falls on Tua. He made the wrong read. The third down falls on Tua. The fourth down was a fumble. You can put it on Connor. You can put it on Tua. You can put it on whoever you want. But those are just two plays. He matched Mahomes in stats in what was a road game with a playoff atmosphere. The offenses went 14-14. Both defenses were hot. I don't think he played all that terrible in the Kansas City game. I might be in the minority on that. I might be looking through rose-colored glasses. But my overall grade for him, I'm going to give him an A. He's played 9 games. He hasn't been slow to get up after any hits. He's getting rid of the ball. All right. We don't really know how great this offensive line is playing. They got great stats, but I mostly attribute that to Tua getting rid of the ball fast. He's protecting himself. He's protecting himself. So we don't know how well these guys are actually playing. So, I mean, we're putting up all these offensive stats.
It's a combination.
Yeah,
man.
It's both.
He's throwing the fastest in the league, which he deserves credit for. And it's tougher on him because he's got to read things quicker.
So,
and, you know, they are holding him out. I mean, you know, you can get hit in 2.3 seconds and he hasn't been that much.
So,
well, guys, keep this in mind real quick, that Marino had the fastest delivery in football, too. And he had a phenomenal offensive line in front of him. I mean, he had Pro Bowl players, you know, Dwight Stevenson, a Hall of Famer. Yeah. So, I mean, the quick release, you know, it's just to his nature.
There's a difference between having a quick release, Lou. That's how quick you throw it from the time you decide to and actually get rid of the ball.
Right.
And Tua, it is release time, but what we're talking about there is how long he's actually holding the ball. And he's only holding the ball 2.3 seconds.
Right.
From start to finish. Yeah.
But Marino did something extremely similar, you know, is what I'm saying. You know, they did not even come close. I mean, how many games did he go without anybody even touching him? So that's to his nature, you know. He just gets the ball and he just gets it to a spot. It's all timing. But go ahead, Matt, finish up.
I was basically done. I'm going to give him an A. He's gone out and done what we've wanted him to do this year. Does he still have another step to take? Absolutely. He's not in a group of elite quarterbacks yet, but he's taken a step to being a franchise quarterback that I think we've all wanted to see. So I'm going to give him an A for the first half of the season.
Mm-hmm.
I got to give Tua some props because whatever he did with his jiu-jitsu or his training, he looks much stronger than last year. When he's taking hits, he doesn't look like a rag doll going down like he has in the past. So. You know, that's great to see. He has remained healthy. He's put up a whole ton of statistics, and that's phenomenal. He's passing all of the, you know, weekly tests with A's. And then when it comes to the finals, he's struggling a little bit. You know, we've seen him in a few games, you know, Baltimore last year, Arizona a couple of years ago. We've seen him basically refuse to lose a game a few times. And this year, you know, Buffalo, we got overwhelmed. The Eagles game, we were competitive, but it got away. And this Kansas City game, you know, overall, I thought on defense, we played fantastic. But there was a lot of plays missed and could have been better in Kansas City. We won't even talk about the end of the series, but I'm going to give Tua an A- again. He's getting that number 90 again, same as McDaniel, because he's putting a lot of good stuff out there, but you got to get over the hump if we're going to get to the championship that we're all after.
He's playing at an extremely high level. The thing that bothers me are the interceptions in the losses, you know, and they were key interceptions. They were interceptions when we were in games and they came at bad times, you know, the second half of that, you know, that Buffalo game. I mean, we were going tit for tat with them and, you know, then we have, you know, a bad throw. It was just a bad throw. Other than that, you know, he's got 7 interceptions, 19 touchdowns on the season. I mean, he's at a phenomenal pace. I mean, he's got an opportunity here to possibly throw 40 touchdowns on the season and be somewhere around 14, 15 interceptions. Those ratios are very, very good. But, you know, there's crucial times in games where your quarterback has to make plays. And in these bigger games against these bigger teams, for one reason or another, it just hasn't happened.
And, he's got to be the fuel that drives the engine.
Yeah, yeah.
And listen, guys, you know, the games are not perfect. You know, the NFL's not perfect. We can have the five best offensive linemen out there week in and week out, you know, and we can have, you know, all our receivers and all our running backs healthy, but that's not realistic. So, you know, you have to go with what you work with and what you have to work with. And, you know, the penalties hurt, but you know what? I see teams overcome penalties on first and second down. You know, when Tua is put in a position to where he's got to make plays, I think that in some of these bigger games, you know, he's left some plays on the table, as Jim mentioned. And I think that that was the difference in some of these games to an extent. You know, we talked about that last series against Kansas City. But guys, you know, there were three series in a row where the defense, you know, put Kansas City. I think they had one first down over three series. And we got the ball three times, and for one reason or another, we didn't score any points. We didn't move the football. We basically gave it right back to them. So, you know, we could talk about the last series, and a lot of it wasn't Tua's fault, but some of it was. You know, he's the guy running the show. And, you know, with all that being said, you know, I give him an A- as well. You know, the numbers are there. He's had phenomenal games, but... You know, in order to be that quarterback, he's got to start beating guys like Josh Allen and Mahomes. You know, he's got to outplay them in crunch time. He has the ability to do it, you know, as far as I'm concerned.
We've seen it.
You know, he's just got to stay away from key interceptions and key situations. And other than that, I mean, you can almost say that he's been damn near perfect, you know. Yeah. He's had a bad throw here or there, but overall he's been outstanding. It's what you want to see out of a quarterback, and, you know, I can't say enough about him up to this point.
All right. Next guy is Bradley Chubb.
Bradley Chubb has been a pleasant surprise as of the last 4 or 5 weeks. He's really come to life, and he's doing what we kind of all expected him to do when we brought him in. And I was a little bit suspect of that signing last year because, you know, I did watch some Denver games, and he almost made a lot of plays the last couple of years in Denver. And, you know, I saw him... You know, not quite going 100%, I didn't think. And, you know, last year and the first part of this year, I kind of saw more of the same. But recently, I don't know what's kind of motivated him or whether he's finally getting the handle on Fangio's system or what. But it's been fun to watch, whether it's Phillips on the other side or Andrew Van Ginkel doing something on the other side. Either way, he's been making plays, and I got to give him I'm going to go with an A for the season, because not only has he pressured the quarterback and caused turnovers, he's been playing solid in the run game. So I'm going to give him a straight up A for Bradley Chubb.
Yeah, the only, you know, I'm not going to repeat what you said, Jim, because I'm pretty much right on par with you in regard to that. I just wish that we would finish a little bit more. We're always around the quarterback, and we're right there, and we're just not putting him on the ground over and over and over again. I mean, through the first half of this season, that's been a consistent thing that's been going on with our football team. There's a lot of pressure, but they're just not getting the quarterback down. So I give him a B+. I think he's had an outstanding year, and I was really down and out on this guy because what we saw out of him, as you mentioned at the end of the year, was just not something that you give up a number one draft pick for. You know, it's simple as that. But, you know, he stepped up. He's been fantastic in the rotation going in and out, and, you know, we're going to need a lot more out of him in the second half.
Last four games. You know,
much of the same.
6 sacks and 3 forced fumbles in the last 4 games. That's phenomenal. You can't ask for any better than that. First 5 games,
Well, you can. You can ask for seven.
First five games,
right?
Not a whole lot.
Ten sacks, but
we didn't get really a whole lot from the defense at all in the first five games. He's been the key to the defensive turnaround. He's been the best player on the defense this year so far. So he gets a B plus for being the best player on a pretty porous defense up until this point, but I'm excited to see where they're going for the rest of the year.
All right. What we're going to do is we're going to take a step back for just a couple minutes and we'll be right back. The next guy is David Long.
He stepped it up as well. I mean, I don't want to keep repeating myself on here, but he got off to a slow start. And as of late, he's been extremely good. I mean, he has turned it up a notch. You see him all over the field. You know, we were all scratching our heads like, oh, my God, you know, he was getting bad grades, you know, the first couple of weeks, you know, one of the lower grades on the defensive side of the football. But as of late, you know, with the rest of the defense, he's been playing exceptionally well. And he's a great addition to our team. He's probably our best linebacker. And he's another guy that, again, in the second half, he's got to just continue to play at the level he's been playing the last couple of weeks.
I believe he's number one run stopping in PFF. I think that's what I saw last. So you got to be pretty happy with that. He, along with Chubb, is a big reason for this. The reason this defense is trending up after such a terrible beginning to the season. I'll give him a solid B for first nine games. I'd like to see some more big plays out of him, but so far he's doing his job.
Yeah, I'm with both of you guys. You know, he's, especially the last few games, the same with Chubb. I don't know if it's the defense, the players are figuring out what Fangio is asking of them and starting to gel or what, but he's been solid. But I can't go much higher than a B because linebackers are supposed to stuff the run. And until we get one that can actually cover a linebacker a little bit, I'm reluctant to go much higher. So. But he's been a great addition to the team, and, you know, our defense should be looking good if they continue on the path they've been on the last couple of weeks.
All right, Matt, why don't you go first with this one, Tyreek Hill.
If you take out the Kansas City game, A+, but the Kansas City game happened. I know, the Kansas City game happened.
You can't take away. You can't do that.
And it's pretty much the same as Tua, right? I got to give him an A. He's putting up all-time numbers. He's got a chance. He's on pace to crush every receiving record that's ever existed. But against the Eagles and against the Chiefs, he came up short like Tua did. Do I give Tua a little bit more slack because he's younger and Tyreek's been around a lot longer? Maybe I do. Maybe that's unfair. Do I expect a little bit more from Tyreek Hill? Maybe. I guess I got to give him an A, though. How could you give him anything less than an A? He's the number one non-quarterback in the league. If any non-quarterback is going to get MVP votes at the midseason, it's Tyreek Hill. So even with the Kansas City game.
Can I see how you grade? You have a curve? Because to me, receivers are paid to catch the ball.
He's been catching the ball, hasn't he?
Well, yes, except for a couple of very key important situations.
So that's why it's not an A+. That's why it's not 100. He's got a 95 from me.
All right.
Well, I got to agree with Matt. I'm going to give the guy an A. He's been the single best signing, free agent signing that I can ever remember. He's been good for the franchise. He's setting records. And for the, you know, 95% of the time, he's been phenomenal. Like you guys have both said, you know, that couple of bad time drops have tarnished him a little bit. But how can you not give him an A for what he's done for the team and for, you know, all of the stats and all of that jazz? So he gets an A from me.
Listen, we're nine games into the season, so we're halfway there, right? The guy has 69 receptions, 1,076 yards, and 8 touchdowns. So he's basically on pace for 140 receptions. Now, this guy has the number one target on his back, okay? Mm-hmm. You know, when we go to face other defenses, okay? And you know what? We can talk about Waddle. You know, to me, Waddle's an extremely good receiver. There's no question about it. But
He's not Tyreek Hill.
He's not even close to Tyreek Hill, and there's a number of receivers that
can you wait for a minute on Waddle because I got him next on the list.
Okay, well, what I'm saying is, guys, is that you look at our tight end position, they're not a threat, right?
Yep.
Okay. Tyreek Hill, when you go up against a defense and a defense is going up against us and saying, all right, who do we got to eliminate from this offense? It's Tyreek Hill. Uh-huh. The fact that he's got the numbers that he has is exceptional. I mean, the guy has been targeted 100 times already this season. Does he have a few drops? Yeah. I would have gave him an A+. Other than the fact that he's dropped a couple of passes. I'm not even going there with the fumble, guys, last week. Because you know what?
That was a tough break.
The ball was thrown in the flat, and there was five guys there. Two, three guys were holding him up, and the other guy stripped him. Sometimes you have to give the other team some credit. They made a good play on him. They stripped him the balls. They were holding him up. Has he had a few drops? Yes. But other than that, he's been damn near perfect. I mean, you know, he's averaging 120 yards a game as far as receiving goes. And again, he has one fumble, which, of course, we saw last week. So he's just below an absolute A+ at this point. I mean, a few drops. Other than that, I mean, guys, he's been damn near perfect. I mean, you know, with all that being said, damn near perfect. So he's just a notch
but
below A+. Yeah.
Key drops.
Yep, absolutely. Now, Eagle game.
I wonder if Tyreek's mind is in 100 different places. That's all. You know, you see how much he does during the week and how much he's talking and getting in everything, you know. He's like a little jackrabbit.
Yeah. I mean, that's just his MO, you know. Yep. I mean, it's, you know, some guys, you know, that's what drives them.
I just hope his mind is in the right place. That's all.
Yeah, I mean, going forward, yes, you got to hope that that's the case. But, you know, I think it is. I mean, he's determined to get to this 2,000 yards and to break the record. And I think he's going to do everything possible to get there.
Well, he said a couple of weeks ago he was going to be better. And, you know, I'm a little skeptical of that. I want to see it.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you're going to see teams try to crack down on him because as we've been slowed down in these big games, it's simply because, you know, they have slowed him down to an extent. So, I mean, I think every team, you know, goes out and plans around, you know, shutting him down. The question is, you know, how many different ways can we work him into getting open and into making plays? You know, the fumble was a screen, Mike. It was a wide receiver screen in the flat. And, you know, we probably shouldn't have ran it because they were defending it. I mean, they literally had three guys the other minute.
I don't blame them for that.
Yeah,
he got mugged.
It wasn't a good play call, and it wasn't a good decision, yada, yada, yada.
Yep. And yawn and on and on, exactly. Yep. So, you know, we'll see what happens as we go forward, but the guy's incredible. He's the best receiver in the game right now.
Waddle.
Who's up?
Waddle is next. And
Jim?
I think it's Jim. I think it's me. I got to go with a solid B+. You know, he's the second fiddle to Tyreek Hill. And he's made some great plays. He's made some spectacular catches in traffic a few times this year, which is good to see. But, you know, we were picking on Tyreek Hill because of his two bad time drops. But, you know, Waddle has probably half the throws and just as many drops. So, you know, we're kind of throwing Tyreek under the bus for the two bad timed ones. That hurt, no question. But, that's why it's
an issue. If it was, you know, if it was in the first quarter, it wouldn't be a big deal.
Right. No, I completely get it. You know, but. You know, Waddle is phenomenal. You know, that one pass where they basically lost him in the coverage with the motion and he went out and there was nobody on him and Tua threw him the strike and Tua walked off the field and Waddle walked into the end zone. You know, that was, you know, that's because of all of the speed on the field and the defense just missed him. But, you know, I got to go with a solid B for Waddle.
When I look at Waddle, right, you look across the field and you got the best receiver in football. He's getting an awful lot of attention, okay?
Yeah.
Now, if teams choose to defend against both of these guys, they're leaving, you know, the rest of the team man to man. I think Tyreek Hill usually has three or four guys around him. So, in my opinion, you know, Waddle's numbers should probably be a little bit better at this point. You did say that, you know, that touchdown at the end of the game was great, Jim. It was just a great play call. You know, we had the jumbo package in, and, you know, basically we had him and Tyreek on the field as the only two receivers. The team thought we were going to run the football. He caught the touchdown pass. Now, past that touchdown, over the course of the 8 games that he's played, he's got 2 other touchdowns up to this point. So when you have a guy on the opposite side of you in Tyreek Hill, and, you know, at the level that Tua has been playing at this year, you know, I base this solely on the fact that, you know, we're expecting number one, you know, top 10, number one wide receiver here. You know, I'm a little disappointed in him. You know, the drops, as you mentioned, I'm not going to repeat that. You already said that, are comparable to maybe even more so than the amount that Hill has had. You know, I give him a B. You know, he hasn't been horrible, but, you know, I think he needs to be a hell of a lot better, and he needs to be that number one draft pick. I mean, you know, if you get a guy that's a dominant receiver, as you look around the league, like a guy like a Ja'Marr Chase and an A.J. Brown and the guys that have been drafted in that, you know, that top 10 situation, you know, even Justin Jefferson, and, you know, you throw guys like that in. If Waddle gets to that particular level, we're unstoppable. I mean, you know, who do you choose to cover in that situation? So I think Waddle has been outstanding, but he needs to be much better than what he's been. I think he's putting up moderate numbers at this point.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Waddle, I think I'm going to go B minus on Waddle, and I need to see more production out of him. I think he's been banged up. He had a concussion earlier in the season. He's been dealing with some back spasms. He's had to come out of games often. Seems like every game he's having something going on.
Yep.
But mainly I look at, so we keep on looking at,
concussion.
It was earlier in the season. He missed week 3.
He missed one game, I believe.
Against the Broncos. He could have racked up some stats in that game. He wasn't even there for that one.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But
what does that say that he was out of that game?
We rolled up 70 points,
right?
Says Denver's defense was home sleeping or something.
Now, the main story of the season is what's happened against the Bills, the Eagles, and the Chiefs. Against the Bills, he had 4 catches for 46 yards. Against the Eagles, he had 6 catches for 63 yards. And against the Chiefs, he had 3 catches for 42 yards. If those teams are shutting us down by throwing everything they have at Tyreek, we need more from him in those games.
Right. Absolutely. That's...
Yep.
Very
same,
much.
You are a stats guy, aren't you, Matt?
Uh-huh. So B minus for Waddle from me.
All right, guys, we're going to break for a few moments, and we'll be right back. Last guy is Jalen Phillips.
Wow, and I'm up on Jalen.
You are.
Coming into the season, guys, you know, we thought he was going to be the second coming of Jason Taylor, right? And up to this point, he's been okay. He's been average. He missed a lot of games due to injury. And since he's come back, he's been okay. He's got 3.5 sacks. I mean, he's definitely a difference maker. But again, we need to see more out of him. He needs to finish on some of these pass rushes. We need to see more consistency out of him. Right now, he's on a pace to have 7 sacks. Now, keep in mind, you know, he's played 6 games. He started 4 of those. So he did miss a few games in the middle of the first half of this season. But even with him coming back the last couple of weeks, what we want to see, guys, is impact plays, right? And, you know, I talk about this every week on the podcast, the fact that the defense just hasn't created turnovers. Well, the defensive line is responsible for that as well. You know, you rush the quarterback into bad throws, or you tip passes, or you hit their arm as they're throwing, whatever the case may be. There has not been nowhere near enough of that up to this point in the season. I mean, we have, 4 interceptions? And one of them is, you know, from Ogba, you know, from our defensive lineman. So our secondary has three interceptions. You know, we're getting to the quarterback, but when you look at how many times we're around the quarterback over the course of the game, we should have even more than what we have. And, you know, I think Phillips is a big part of that. You know, he's got to get there and he's got to finish the job. You know, right now I'd give him an average. I'd give him a C right now, you know, up to this point. You know, I think he's been average at best up to this point in the season.
Yeah, I was going to go C as well. He's missed most of the first month of the or first half of the season. But last three games, he's had a sack in each game. As Chubb's production's gone up, his production's gone up as well. I'm looking forward to see what he has in the second half of the season. I think the entire defense is trending up. They're going to be a lot better in the second half, and I think Phillips and Chubb are going to be two of the main reasons for that.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you guys. You know, I want to give him like a B-. The injury isn't his fault, and his production when he's played has been pretty solid. But again, like everybody said, we need to see more plays. You know, when you watch Cameron Wake for, you know, so many years affect games just about every week, every Sunday, my expectation is high. And, you know, I'd like to see him making more impact plays, I guess, out there on the field.
Yes. Number one pick.
Exactly.
All right. Will Tua still be playing for the Dolphins in 2028? Man, I believe you're up.
Yes.
The Tua questions fall. Isn't that amazing, Mike?
Yes. Yep. Yes, 100%. If he finishes the season without getting hurt, he's getting a five-year contract with the way he's played, regardless of like how the season ends. If he doesn't miss a game, if he finishes 17 games this season, and if they lose a game, like if they lose the first playoff game that they play in, because they're going to the playoffs this year. Whether they win the division or whether they're a wild card team is going to be the question. But if Tua plays 17 games, he's getting a five-year extension with the way he's played in this first 9 weeks. And it makes complete sense. Why would you retool this offense? McDaniel and Tua, they've only been together 2 years, and they're putting out the number one offense in the league. It's only going to get better the longer they're together. So absolutely, yes, he'll be here. Yes.
You sure? Okay. Jim?
Well, I'm not as excited per se as Matt is, but I want to say, it's not that I want to say, it's that I would predict he would be our quarterback then. The basic reason is, what direction would we go at the end of this year? We don't have any draft picks to speak of, and we're going to finish well enough to not be able to draft a guy high in the next draft. So, and our options would be pretty small. So I would think after this season, Tua will get a nice little package, and he'll probably get a five-year deal to remain a Dolphin.
Yeah, he's not going anywhere. He's our quarterback, whether you're a fan of his or you're not a fan of his. You know, the numbers speak for themselves. The system that he's in, you know, with McDaniel here, you know, I think that you're in a situation where, as Jim said, you know, what are you going to do? I mean, really? I mean, look at the numbers. We got the number one offense.
They're in a bad cap space next year. So yeah. You could make a case that, you know, they're going to be in trouble anyway. Maybe we've got other things we can do. But I'm not saying that's what I'm for. But, you know, you could make a case to do that strictly because of the cap situation and the fact that we don't have any real young talent on our roster right now, you know. The draft picks that they do have on the roster aren't seeing time, like Cam Smith and Tyndale, and, you know, they're not playing. So, you know, you can make a case for it, but, yeah, you know, I don't think they will. I do think they'll probably stay the course.
Now, yeah. Why would you go a different route? That's my question to anybody. I mean, listen, money, you know, Tua is going to have to, if he wants to, win a championship. He's going to have to do something similar to what Brady did. Now, I know Brady had, you know, a big contract early on, and Tua's going to get a nice chunk of change here. But, you know, how much is enough? You know, at some point, if you want to win a championship, you can't be overly selfish, right? So they're going to have to negotiate a contract that's a good one for both parties, to where if he wants to win a championship, he just can't be overly greedy. And I hope that's what takes place. But you can't start over again. You just can't do it. I mean, you know, you're in a position where I don't think you do it. You got a lot of veterans on this football team, Mike.
Yeah.
You know, 2 years from now, this roster is going to be very different. And, you know, you don't want to put yourself in a position where, you know, you're grooming a new young quarterback or bringing in a veteran quarterback to try and run this team. I think, you know, your best option right now is Tua. Even though he has his limitations, you know, in my opinion.
Well, every quarterback has limitations.
Every quarterback does. I think that he's in the perfect position right now. I think that, you know, the Dolphins and their brain trust, if you want to call it that, because up to this point, they have to get some guys on that offensive line that, you know, that are going to protect him and, you know, go forward with him if, in fact, they bring him back, because he's not going to scramble. He's not a big guy. He needs the protection back there, and they're going to have to recognize that and, you know, and bring some players in. I mean, with Achane, we've got an extremely young running back that's going to be here for the next 3 years, you know, 4 years. And, you know, you've got, you know, Hunt at that guard position that you have to re-sign. They have to address that offensive line and continue to have guys in front of them, or else you're defeating the purpose with him, because he has to have guys in front of him and players around him in order for him to be successful. You know, it's simple as that. So they have to, if they do re-sign him, they have to understand that.
Do you guys want Austin Jackson back next year?
Oh, so Matt's becoming the moderator here, is it?
Well, yeah, I was going to say, no, you know, like you guys, I was, you know, you're screwing up more.
No, sorry.
No, it's fine. Go ahead. Mike,
yeah,
go ahead.
Mike, you answer one. Come on.
Yeah, come on.
I'm going to ask the one I'll answer, because it's the next one on my list. Christian Wilkins will be our most costly free agent. Do you resign him at about $22 million a year?
$22 million a year. I think I'm up, right?
Yep.
No.
You must be out of breath from the last one.
No. Mike, just answer the question that Matt asked you, okay? And then you can, you know, give me some shit. I can't say it. Here we go with the selfishness. You want to win a championship. You've got a fantastic roster. He's got a young guy in Phillips to work with. You know, Chubb is playing at a very high level. You got a guy right next to him in Siler that just signed a contract, okay? So you've got a really solid, solid foundation there. So don't be over selfish. You know, I mean, how much money is enough money? I understand that, you know, that this is maybe going to be his only big contract in the NFL, right? Yeah. But the bottom line is that, you know, if you come in and you're getting $18 million a year, or, you know, somewhere in that avenue, I mean, that's a hell of a lot of money, guys. I mean, you know, if you're going to be over selfish, then, you know, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, but at $22 million a year, Mike, you know, no, I don't think he's worth that kind of money. I think that, you know, if he comes in at the number that I talked about, to where we're able to keep some other guys on this roster, you're going to need it, especially with the way Greer drafts. You know, you have to consistently bring free agents in here in order to fill holes. So, you know, that's too big a number. I mean, do I want them to re-sign him? Absolutely. But you threw that $22 million a year number out. It's just too much, I think, for him.
He hasn't proven to me that he's a great fit in this defense yet. His numbers have gone up just like everybody else.
Yeah, I was going to say, he has got more sacks.
He's getting a little bit more pressure up the middle. they're not as effective as against the run as they were last year. He's not like standing out as strong of a run stopper as he was last year.
It's a different scheme.
So, yeah. I mean, I guess we got to see how he finishes the last 9 weeks of the season. If he continues to play the way he's been playing the last few games, like the rest of the defensive line is, then yeah, maybe he does command $22 million. I'm under the impression that we can do magic with the cap and just sign whoever we want, because it seems like that's what every team's doing these days anyway. They just kick the can down the road and deal with it. And
well, we kicked it.
What's that?
We kicked it.
Well, you can keep kicking it.
We signed all these free agents.
Look at Buffalo and Kansas City. They're paying their quarterbacks $500 million, and they're still paying Von Miller. They're still paying Chris Jones.
The Bills are missing a receiver.
They got Stephon Diggs.
They find ways. Other teams find ways.
There's always ways.
You know, but they also let guys walk. I mean, you know, Buffalo let a key defender walk this year. You know, they didn't re-sign him as a free agent. So it does happen. I mean, I think Wilkins, I mean, listen, he's got 4.5 sacks. I mean, so he's on pace for around 10 sacks from that defensive tackle position. It's not like he's played horribly, and they've been playing much better against the run of late. I just think that, you know, with him and Botua, they have to sign somewhat team-friendly contract in order for this team to go forward. They're going to have to be unselfish to an extent. Go ahead, Jim. I think you haven't spoken on this yet.
I mean, who doesn't want to re-sign Wilkins? Christian is, you know, he's a fun guy out there. You know, the locker room loves him. And you know, he's like the leader of the defense. He's a vocal guy, and there's no downside to that. Now, the money is the issue. We just talked about how we're going to re-sign Tua. He's going to need a contract. We got Robert Hunt that's going to need a contract. Are we going to bring AVG back? We've got probably 8 key players that are going to be due for some money next year.
Right.
You can't pay everybody.
You're going to lose somebody.
And, you know, it's a huge problem. And every team in the NFL is up against it. And, you know, you talked about Buffalo. They're in win now mode. So you kick the can as far as you can until it's not working and you got to blow it up again. And we're about a year behind them because we're in win now mode. And, you know, the owner, Ross, isn't getting any younger. He wants to win now. He doesn't want to blow this thing all up again. He wants to make it work. So they're going to try to keep as much of the core team together as they can. Whether they can swing $20 million range for Wilkins is a stretch to me. I mean, I don't think he's worth that kind of money. So I got a feeling he's going to go out the door unless they work something out like they've been hints about during the season.
Yeah, factor in a couple other things, guys, right? Is he a Fangio-type player? Right? That we don't know. We don't know what Fangio's. I mean, obviously, don't you guys think that in the end, you know, they're going to sit down and they're going to talk to Fangio, and he's going to be a big decision maker in this as to whether he feels that he's his type of player in the type of scheme that they're going to play and if he fits into that mode. Obviously, Siler is. They re-signed him, right? Fangio was here when they re-signed him, wasn't he?
Yep.
So, you know, that factors in. It's a situation where you just don't know what their thought process is on this guy. And the fact that it hasn't been done already and wasn't done at the beginning of the year leads you to believe that they're not 110% on him, right? I mean, because if they were, that this guy's got to be here, then it would have gotten done prior to this season started. It would have been locked up and finished, much like Siler's contract was. So,
The price tag.
I don't know what. Yeah, go ahead.
The price tag keeps going up every year, so the sooner you sign them, the smaller that's going to be. You know,
right.
But team kind of assumes the injury risk under that scenario. You know what I mean?
Yep. Oh, so, absolutely. Yeah. Yep.
You know, it's not always advantageous to sign them quickly.
One option would be the franchise tag at $19 million next year.
Yep. Which is a very, very strong possibility, Matt. When you look at the roster, who else are you going to put it on at this point?
Yeah,
right?
Robert Hunt. Possibility.
Yeah.
I think Hunt has to be signed, period. You know, he's
the next one on my list, and I agree with you.
Yeah. So he's the next one on the list. So we'll run right into him. I mean, I think Hunt has to be signed to a contract. You know, a 3-4 year contract, because he's still relatively young. He's actually, if you look across that offensive line, he's probably, well, Austin Jackson may be younger because he came into the NFL at a younger age. But right. You know, who really cares whether he comes back or not? I think Hunt is an absolute necessity. You know, the fact that Armstead is a little bit old and Connor Williams has been in the league for a while now as well. You know, going forward, he's a guy that's going to be the anchor of your offensive line. So I think he has to be signed to a contract. So, you know, I think personally that Wilkins is a guy that winds up getting the franchise tag next year over pretty much anybody else. I mean, I think he's the favorite to be in that situation if they don't sign him to a multi-year deal. But go ahead.
Yes.
Yeah, you can sign interior offensive linemen and not break the bank.
Yeah, but he's like the fourth rated guard in the league, so he's right. Not going to be cheap.
He'll probably be one of the highest paid guards, but you can do that and get that under the cap. Interior offensive line is not like paying like a left tackle or a defensive end or a cornerback.
It's gotten close. Yeah. You're right. It's not the same as a left tackle, but it's gotten close. It's still a chunk of money. It's not 8 to 10 million like it was a few years ago.
Obviously, we got to try to get him extended, re-signed, and he needs to be a priority this offseason.
Absolutely. Yeah. You have to keep, you know, we hit on so few of our draft picks, and you have to keep some of these guys. You have to do it. You can't make, you know, you can't make a guy like him walk away. I mean, we were fortunate enough to land a really solid player there, and you have to lock these guys in. You have to. You have to do it, or else you're going to just be treading water like
we've been. Well, I can tell you now that Greer's not going to want him to go because he's the only decent lineman that Greer has drafted.
I was going to say.
In the last 20 years that he's been involved with
I think Greer's going to be sliding him money under the table.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, absolutely. Do whatever it's necessary to keep.
Yeah, Mike, you stole, you know, I was up next and you stole my plug there. You know,
I'm sorry.
I was going to say Greer has missed on so many offensive linemen. Didn't we draft 4 O-linemen that year when we took Hunt?
Well, is Jackson a miss? And I don't know what to label him.
Yeah, well, Jackson's not necessarily a miss because he's played better this year. But, you know, I mean, there was Kindley and so many others that just they washed out. And we've got one solid offensive lineman that hasn't missed a lot of time, and that's Robert Hunt. So you can't really just let him walk, because then you're going to be, you know, hunting the bushes for another 32-year-old free agent. Or you're going to roll the dice at drafting an offensive lineman, and Greer can't be too happy about trying to draft an O-lineman. So you got to sign Hunt, and, you know, it's going to be less money than a defensive, you know, lineman's going to cost you in Wilkins or what have you. So, and the other thing is we've got 2 pretty solid interior defensive linemen now. You can't say that about the offensive side of the ball. You know, you've got Connor Williams that, you know, we're always whimpering about his snaps, and he is one of the better rated centers, but now he's missed time. And like you said, Lewis, he's been in the league pushing 10 years now as well. So
I think they're going to find another center, if you ask me.
Yeah, that's kind of the gist of what I gather, I would think as well. But yeah, like others have said, I think you're going to end up probably trying to work something out with Wilkins. If not, you throw the tag on him and you try to sign Hunt.
Who has been a tougher foe, the Bills or the Ravens? Matt, you're up.
Bills, it's not even close. We've beaten the Ravens the last 2 games. We faced them. The Bills beat our brains in every single time we face them. We beat them once last year in Miami, and it was, 21-19? Like, and it came down to the last play, and it took a boneheaded play from Josh Allen at the end of the first half. to run out the clock when they could have had points.
Yeah, but wasn't that was fun to watch?
It was a great game. It was fun to watch. But yes. What is Josh Allen's record against us? Like 50 million to one?
Yeah, but the quarterback doesn't matter, Matt.
I know. All right. Yeah. What are, if you add up Josh Allen and Sean McDermott since they've been there, and I think they outscore us by about 60 points per game. I mean, the Bills something just like freaking own us. They own us.
Yeah, they've...
And it's sad. I hate it, but...
Well, hopefully we've got the coach and quarterback to turn that around.
To me, it's not even close. It's definitely the Bills.
Y'all agree?
Yeah, I think it's definitely the Bills.
Well, they're in our division. And, you know, they're the team that when you look at our division, the team that we've got to leapfrog, right?
Yep.
You know, the Jets are an extremely good team. There's no question about that. I mean, their defense has kept them together, but. You know, they're a 500 ball club right now with the way, you know, their quarterback's been playing, and the loss of Rodgers hurt them incredibly. So the Bills are the team in our division, and they're the team that we have to beat when they come to Miami later on in the year. The Raven game, what is that, the last game of our season when we go up to
Bills
Baltimore?
Are last.
The Bills is.
Oh, the Bills are last. How about that? So we go up to Baltimore, I believe, the second to the last week of the season, and then come back and play Buffalo. You know, both games are extremely important for our positioning, you know, come playoff time. And I'll tell you what, guys, I mean, that's a hell of a way to end the season with those two. Those are two playoff games right there. And, you know, it'll be nice to see where we're at that point.
No, it won't.
And why is that, Mike? Why you
exactly for what you just said.
You don't. Well, I mean, you know,
so far to this point, we have not shown we can beat those teams.
Not beat them, but we've been extremely competitive. And, you know, there's a lot of factors that go into some of these losses. I mean, we had a lot of key injuries in the Philadelphia game. I mean, I'd love to see their asses again, to be honest with you. And the same thing goes for Kansas City. You know, that was
I think we could beat Kansas City.
That was a very winnable football game.
Yep.
And Buffalo, from what I have seen of them since our game, they have not been very good. They've lost some key guys on defense.
Milano. Yeah. Milano. They are Milano. Wounded right now, and those guys aren't coming back.
They're wounded. Right. The guys that are that have replaced them are playing nowhere near the level that the guys they had were. And, you know, when you look at it as a whole, the Bills' defense was kind of, you know, slipping a little bit to begin with. And now with those losses, I mean, they're very beatable. They're a beatable football team. So, you know, I think we're in a good position.
Great.
But Buffalo is by far, you know, the team that, you know, that we have to beat. We're going to win the division. You know, we're going to possibly get a bye week. You know, we'll be in great shape in that situation if, in fact, that happens. So we'll see. You know, it's going to be really, really nice at the end of the year to have those two games.
Who's been the MVP through 9 games?
Tua.
Uh-oh.
He's the MVP. How is he not? He's the MVP.
Tyreek Hill.
You think it's Tyreek Hill?
No, not really, but I just want to be.
It's Tua. I mean, it's Tua. This offense is humming, and it goes on.
You could make a case. You could make
you
a
could,
case for either.
But the offense is going to go as far as Tua takes them. And so far, they're the number one offense in the league. He's had a few games where we wish he was a little bit better. There's still time for that improvement to happen.
We could say the same thing.
Yeah,
about
exactly.
Hill, right.
As the team will go as Tua goes. If Tua gets hurt. See, the season's over. I mean, you think Mike White is going to run the offense to this level that Tua has been?
Well, I'll tell you what. If Hill goes down, the season's over, too.
Not as much. I think we could win games without Tyreek Hill. I'm not so certain we can win games.
You can win games if McDaniel leans on the run more.
I mean, I don't want to see Mike White back there. Do you?
I want to see McDaniel run more.
I don't want to see Mike White back there, a quarterback. I mean, listen, there's a lot of talent around him, especially when Achant comes back. You know, Matt, I don't necessarily agree with the fact that we can't win games without him because I think the defense is going to play extremely well
in
the second half. And with Achan coming back and him and Mostert in the backfield, and if, you know, as long as Hill and Waddle are on the field, I mean, you know, a quarterback can manage this football team to the level that Tua's playing at. No, he can't. Listen, Tua's mastered this offense, guys. I mean, you know, his biggest improvement has been the fact that he knows the playbook and he's running this offense to perfection. Now, has he made a bad throw and a bad decision here and there? Yes, he has. But he's running the offense to perfection. Now, can Mike White come in and duplicate that? No, he cannot. But
not to that
to
level.
Mike's point, you know, to Mike's point, you would see a little bit more balanced of an offense, which could be a good thing, depending on how healthy the offensive line is. So there's a million different avenues you can go down in regard to, you know, what's a situation. But, you know, the level that Tua is playing at, and I'll just go right into my MVP thought, you know, I think it's Tua too. I'm sorry I jumped you there, Jim, but, you know, I think he's, you know, he's 1A, and I think McDaniel, you know, the head coach there, and with the way he's thrown so many wrinkles into the offense, he's 1B. You know, you could say he's just as important because the offensive schemes and the fact that, you know, he was smart enough to put Mostert and Achane on the field at the same exact time was a great wrinkle, a very successful wrinkle. And they're throwing the long ball a lot more. I mean, I think Tyreek had four straight weeks where he had long touchdown catches on fly patterns. So there's a lot going on there, but, you know, Tua is the MVP. Go ahead, Jimbo.
I've said this in other threads.
You have.
Not necessarily that Tua is an MVP, but every snap goes through the quarterback.
Right.
The offense can't work without, you know, that quarterback dealing however he's going to deal. And he's been running this thing really as good as you could hope for. You know, other than the few miscues, but, you know, Marino had miscues as well. So let's, you know.
How dare you?
Slow it down, Jim. Slow it down.
But here's the thing. All of our cards are on the table. And, you know, we're playing Tua. We're playing Tyreek Hill. And, you know, we've got Mostert and Achane and some Waddle action there. That's our five cards. And if we lose a couple of them cards, we're toast, guys. This, you know, that's when we're going to find out what McDaniel is made out of. If either one of our studs goes down, we're in a world of hurt. But you gotta give two of the MVP right now. But Tyreek Hill is right there because I think without Tyreek, Tua is not nearly as effective.
Yes, they go hand in hand with each other. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, you know, you can. You know, it goes back to the old, well, if you take Tyreek Hill out of this offense, what happens? Is that more vital? Or is the or if Tua comes out of this offense, is that more vital? You know, so, I mean, you can make arguments both ways. You take Tyreek Hill off the field, you know, how much is our offense going to struggle? You know, with the fact that Waddle hasn't really, you know, become that big playmaker type guy on offense, you know, you eliminate, you know, our biggest offensive threat. And then again, if you take Tua off the field and Mike White becomes your quarterback, how much does that affect Tyreek Hill catching the football? So, you know, there's an argument to be made there, and it would be a good one either way, because honestly, I don't know what I would decide upon in that situation. You know, if I had a choice between losing one or the other, which route I would go.
Who am I getting in return is the question.
Well, no, yeah. you're getting Mike White, a quarterback, Mike, and you're getting a combination of Cedric Wilson and Berrios and Craycraft and all those guys and replace a Hill. So,
well, that's a mighty big drop right there.
There's a mighty big drop in both avenues. I mean, Mike White, you know, yeah, he has some starts behind him, but, you know, you can make an argument either way. And as I'm sitting here and this came up in conversation and we're talking about it, you know, I honestly would have to give it a lot more thought to figure out. I don't want to lose either one of them. I mean, but
well, obviously
it's an interesting situation. It, you know, it'd be an interesting conversation to say the least, but I don't know which one I would, you know, value more at this point. I just don't know.
I got to tell you that if you take Tyreek Hill off the field,
right,
our offense is going to be a lot more.
It's like adding a player to the defense.
Exactly. It's going to make you, you know, one step closer to the Chicago Bears or whatever, because, you know, okay, Tyreek's not on the field. So now that safety doesn't have to play deep and we can put him in the box. And now Mostert doesn't get 5 yards a carry. And you're down to 3 yards a carry and you're throwing on third and long and all the defensive, you know, the defense has its ears pinned back and now Mike White's on his back. So,
I'm
right with him.
Yeah. So Tyreek is, I mean, he's just one player on the team, but boy, we talked about it earlier in the show, as a defensive coordinator for another team, there's one player on offense that you have to limit, and that's Tyreek Hill.
Right. He's the guy that scares you.
So other than that, Waddle, you can man him, you might have you could double Waddle if you wanted, but then who else is going to scare anybody? So, it's a whole different deal when Tyreek's off the field.
Yeah, agree. I'm going to give. Absolutely. As I said.
All right. I give Tua the MVP for the first 9 weeks of the season. But I'll say no one on this team is more responsible for this franchise turning the corner and becoming a competitive team more than Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill brought swagger to this team. Tyreek Hill brought legitimacy to this team. Tyreek Hill brought...
And he brought confidence to Tua.
Yep, and he brought identity to this team. So, I mean, I'm not trying to diminish what Tyreek Hill brings to this team. He is the main reason this team has turned the corner and become a competitive team in the NFL. So, I thank God he's here. It was the best trade Miami's made in years.
Absolutely.
he's a game changer.
He's vital to this football team. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
This is why I forget who's up next, because you guys go back around six times.
Well, Mike, it's a round table, not a square table.
But that's true. It's round.
Okay, go ahead.
Defensive player of the year.
Wait, what?
Defensive player of the year.
Okay.
Was it?
For us?
Yes.
Defensive player of the year. Ah, boy. I would have to go with Bradley Chubb right now. We were talking about him earlier.
Yep.
He's been very solid the last few games. Our cornerbacks have been injured and wounded, so they haven't been playing great. Phillips has been out. Siler's quietly doing his typical job, but I got to give the defensive MVP to Bradley Chubb.
So Chubb absolutely is up there. You'd probably have to say, he's the guy. I mean, David Long leads the team in tackles. He doesn't have a lot of impact plays. Chubb has 6 sacks. He leads the team in sacks. He's got quite a few tackles himself. So, by default, and not that Chubb's playing
he's caused a couple of fumbles, hasn't he?
Absolutely. Yeah. Fumbles. He's got to be the MVP up to this point. I'd say that Van Ginkle, with the amount of playing time that he's had as compared to Chubb, he hasn't been on the field nearly as much. Van Ginkle's got 4 sacks and probably has been on the field half the time that Chubb has. So I think Van Ginkle is right there. But, yeah, you'd have to go with Chubb.
I'm so glad you asked this question. It's Jalen Ramsey. It's Jalen Ramsey.
Ramsey.
It is. Think about it.
I was going to say that after
last
week.
The defense was trash. Trash for 6-7 weeks. And he comes back, and the secondary is back, and this defense is exactly what we expected against Kansas City. They held Travis Kelce to 1 catch.
Yep.
But he
was helping. He was back there. It's Jalen.
He was covering the outside receivers.
Elliot is the guy responsible for Kelsey. For
well,
the
him
part.
And the linebackers. But they had three guys.
They were double. They were bracketing him.
Yeah. How great was it having a healthy secondary for the first time all year, and they looked like the.
But he's not our MVP, Matt. Come on, man.
You know,
come on.
First game back, you had an interception. How many interceptions have we had?
Right, but he's not the end, Jim. I mean,
Agba had one. He's not our MVP.
And
a per snap and a per snap effectiveness. I'm giving it to Jalen Ramsey.
Okay,
that's fair, but I wouldn't do that yet. I think you got to see more.
Maybe at the end of the year, right?
Yeah, you got to see more. I mean, his impact in that game was, you know,
his impact going forward is going to be absolutely vital to the team.
Yep. Got to hope Howard stays healthy now, right?
Right.
For 2 weeks, they haven't been thrown to his side.
Hey, you know what? You know what? If Howard's not on an island out there by himself, his hamstrings will probably feel better.
Yeah. Hey guys, Howard was no slouch last
week. Good.
Either.
He played really
good. No, he wasn't.
You know, their defense, if you look at them man to man now with Ramsey back, you know, and they're completely healthy with Elliott and Holland in the secondary.
That's Wednesday's show, Lou.
I mean, my goodness, guys. I mean, it's a fit. Mike. With that secondary and that defensive front, I mean, there's no reason why this team shouldn't excel. I mean, they're going to have a lot of freedom now with the two corners, you know, healthy going forward. And I can't wait till they get back on the football field against those lousy stinking.
They played
Raiders.
One game with a healthy secondary, and that one game they held Patrick Mahomes to 14 points.
That's right. Damn right. And we still lost, Matt.
Oh, come on.
That's
anyway.
Offensive.
Go ahead, Mike.
Player of the year. Guess who, Lewis?
Offensive player of the year.
30 seconds, please.
Hill. I'm giving it to Hill over Tua right now. I gave Tua the MVP on the offense, right? You're talking about, what was the question, Mike?
Offensive player of the year, Hill. Yeah, that's Hill. That's all you needed.
I'm giving it to Hill. Yep. Go ahead. Next.
Yeah,
Matt,
it's Hill. Tua. No, it's Hill. It's Hill. No. They made that award for non-quarterbacks, so it's Hill. It would have been nice to say Achan if he stayed healthy. Achan was giving him a run for it, but it's Hill.
Yeah, well that, you know, right. You got to stay healthy.
Yep. Tyreek.
Not according to Matt, Mike, because Ramsey's been with us for two weeks.
Ramsey did enough. The defense has only been good for 2 weeks.
He's just getting excited.
All right. Go ahead, Jim. Who you got?
Tyreek.
Okay. Mike?
You're asking me?
Yeah, I'm asking you. Your name's Mike.
I take Tyreek as well.
All right. Got it. Go ahead. What
now
do you
I got
next?
Question. I got a question for you.
Okay.
Or actually for Matt. Who are you keeping, Austin Jackson or Connor Williams?
Oh, my God.
Matt, why is it taking you so long to answer
all
that
right,
question?
Well, Connor Williams is an effective blocker, but his snapping is getting old. He's been injured this year. Austin Jackson's been pitiful for 3 years, and he's been mediocre this season.
And he's been injured as well.
Mediocre right tackle or a pretty good center who's on the older side who gets injured? I guess give me the mediocre right tackle on a discount who maybe is trending up.
Oh, on a discount is kind of.
Well, can we get him for like a 2 year deal? Can we get him for like a 2 or 3 year deal?
Only if nobody else is willing to give him one.
We're getting in the hypothetical.
I don't think anybody else
guys.
Is going to want him.
They're both free agents, Lewis. It's not a hypothetical.
No, but than, you know, with the this, the that, with the salary and whatnot, it's just a matter of you know, where you're throwing the money. So which one is it, Matt? The Austin Jackson?
Yeah, I guess Austin Jackson, and maybe we target a center in the draft.
So if it was up to me, I would keep Connor Williams, but I think the Dolphins may keep Jackson instead of Williams.
Okay, yeah. So, guys.
I think Connor's a solid player. You know, the snap thing is a bit of a hassle, but, you know, he's been one of the top-rated centers for a couple of years. And Austin Jackson, he's found a bit of a home at right tackle, but only because we don't have anything else to put there. So, you know, I would take Williams.
Well, you know what my answer is, Mike. I mean, I'm keeping Connor Williams. I mean, it's very simple, guys. Connor Williams, top five. I think he was the third best center up to the point where, as to where he got hurt this year. And Austin Jackson's grade is at the very bottom of tackles in the NFL. I mean, he's in the bottom tier, guys. I mean, he's down there. He's the lowest.
Not as bad as you think.
Well, he was a couple of weeks ago, the last time we talked numbers, Mike. He's week in and week out our lowest graded offensive lineman. Across the five guys that play and even some of the backups, when me and Mike go over the grades every week, Austin Jackson is 90% of the time, if not the lowest, then the second lowest graded offensive lineman.
I think he's 40th of 60 tackles, if I'm not
mistaken. If I had to pick a guy to get hurt this year, I'd pick Austin Jackson 100 times over Connor Williams this year, but like right. going into next year.
40, but as a number one draft pick, and you're 40th of 62 tackles in the league, guys, I mean, that's the bottom third, right? And you've got
you've got 32 starters, right? You got 32 starters on right tackle.
You got 64, right.
Right.
And he's 40th. You said, right?
Yeah. Right. But there's four, you know, starters, obviously backups, right? too.
Yeah. There's the 32 times two is 64.
Yeah, but like a guy like Lamb filling in for, our left tackle, you know, he played a lot of snaps. So, yep. You know, that's what all I'm saying. There, it's not really as bad as it sounds.
Well, 40th to me from a number one draft pick, Mike, is bad. There's no sugar.
Well, now you're throwing caveats in there. Okay, I get it. You don't want your number one draft pick being the 40th best. You want him being in the top 20.
Or even somewhere in the middle of the pack. The point is that Connor Williams is much more valuable to this football team than Austin Jackson
blindside.
Is at this point. Yeah. I mean, you know, as Matt said, Connor Williams is lost as compared to an Austin Jackson loss. And I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that I personally, if Lamb could play that right tackle position and Armstead stays healthy, I think we'd be a better football team with Lamb at that right tackle position over Austin Jackson. I would love to see it. And I'm not so certain it might not happen at some point if Austin Jackson continues to play at the level that he's playing at. Now, has he been bad this year, Mike? Not nearly as bad as he has been in years past, but you know, I still think that, you know, he's one of the, you know, he's just not a good football player. It's that simple. I mean, at this point in his career, he needs to be better than what he is, and he's just not. He's gotten better, but not to the level we need him to be.
All right, Lewis. Isaiah Wynn versus Kendall Lamb.
What is this, a boxing match? What are we doing here?
Whose turn is it?
Well, there's two free agents at the end of the year.
Oh, you know? Those two are both free agents. Yep. Okay, so who do you re-sign is what you're saying. Both of them.
The guard or the tackle.
Both of them.
I'm up, and I say both of them. Yep, you bring them both back. Yeah, that's
well,
my answer.
Well, if we're
going to
do that, we just should sign them all.
Well, Mike, I mean, I don't think they're going to come at extremely big numbers, and I think that they're both valuable. They're both capable starters. As a matter of fact, one was a starter. And the other one's been a starter half of this season, so why not? I mean, you know, you have to value offensive line, and we can't depend on Greer to bring any decent offensive lineman in here. Well, so that's the route you have to go.
At this point, who might be the most likely offensive lineman we lose next year is Terron Armstead.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, that might not be as big a loss as we feel like it might be.
No, he said that. Didn't you say it may be the most likely one or the one that could possibly happen over any of them?
That's what I said. Yeah.
That's what I thought you were saying. Okay.
And what I'm saying is it wouldn't shock me if that happened, but.
Yep. None of us. It wouldn't. I mean, you know, when you look at the job that Lamb did, you know, in replace of Armstead, I mean, you gotta think about that, right? You absolutely have to. And with the, you know,
well, it's interesting because you got to go through a lot of film before you make that decision. But I think, you know, if it's feasible, you do it because he's a lot cheaper, but you're still going to have to pay him more.
Yes.
Because he's a free agent. So, you know, then where does that land, you know?
Right.
I'm not sure what a backup tackle who's going to start is worth.
I think that offensive line, Mike, and you know, this, it's an absolute necessity. And, you know, you can't, as I said, you cannot depend on the draft, you know, at this point. So these guys, to me, become even more valuable to your team, you know, simply because, you know, what do you have behind them? I mean, you can't replace all these guys. I mean, you know, when was the starter at that left guard position? What do you have behind them? You know, and Eichenberg, you know, Robert Jones, who's probably out for the year now, right? I don't know what the degree of the injury was.
Well, he hyperextended the knee, I think.
And, right.
You know, that it's week to week.
Yeah. So, you know, it just depends on, you know, your thought process on it. But, you know, my thought is that these guys are extremely valuable. And as I said before, you know, Tua's got to have guys in front of him blocking for him. There's no doubt about it. You can't afford to lose any of those guys. I mean, I think they're more valuable than just about anybody else on the football team, you know, as far as, you know, how successful we're going to be.
No, that's good, Lewis. I think we're going to stop right here.
Okay. Yeah. I come back on Tuesday. The Dolphins come back. We have to do a preview show on Wednesday. Yes. So, yeah.
All right. Thanks for joining me, guys. And thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week to preview the Raiders. Right. Until then, fins up, everybody.
All right, fins up.
Go Fins!
Fins up, Dolphin.
All right, Fin fans, that's today's show. I want to thank the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network and the Sports Social podcast network. Check out these sites, guys. They've got articles and podcasts, which I think you'll enjoy. All right, until next week, be well and take care.
Network.